How are you feeling today? Good? How many here could say you've got at least a touch of weariness? Okay, I thought so. I mean, we've all been weary, and sometimes, as one person put it, sometimes as weary as the expression goes, crawl into bed with your clothes still on weary. You've been there, haven't you? Max Lucado writes in one of his works, "Maybe you're weary of sitting beside, day after day, an ill loved one that isn't improving much. Maybe you're weary of filling out job applications that ask senseless questions that have the repeat information that's already on your printed resume, and each one destroying your self-esteem a little bit. Maybe you're weary of sitting up all night with a child or newborn, and they have no understanding of the long day you've got ahead of you. Maybe you're growing weary of taking a handful of pills to stay healthy and alive. Maybe you're weary of worrying over a wayward son or a daughter. Maybe you're weary of growing old and feeling unappreciated. Or maybe you're weary of being alone or left alone or abandoned." Most of us have probably heard of Bob Hope, a good comedian. He said one day, they asked how his day was. He said, "Well, today, this is what I've done. My heart beat 103,000 times. My blood traveled 168 miles. I breathed 23,000 times. I inhaled 438 cubic feet of air. I ate 3.5 pounds of food. I drank 2 pounds of liquid. I perspired 1.5 pints. I generated 450 pounds of energy. I spoke 10,000 words. I moved 750 muscles. I exercised over 7 million brain cells. I'm tired. I'm weary." A weary man was driving home from work one day, and he wasn't paying attention to his speed, and he saw lights in his rearview mirror and pulled over. And as the officer was handing him his ticket, the man grumbled, "What am I supposed to do with this?" The officer says very nicely, "If you get 3 more of them, you get to trade your car for a bicycle." We get weary. Believe it or not, pastors and staff don't have superpowers. We also get weary, and as a senior pastor for 38 years, I've had a lot of weariness too, so we're all in the same boat. We all get weary, physically and emotionally and spiritually. There are some things that you've been wondering about, some things you've been praying about, some things you've been waiting for, some things you've been longing for, some things in your life, some issues you want to be resolved, and you're wondering, when is God going to intervene? I'm getting weary. And we get weary in our wondering and our praying and our waiting and our longing. Julie Howe, who wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic, said one day as she's slumped down in a chair, "I am tired. I am so tired. I'm so weary. I'm tired way down into the future." Lord, we say, "I'm so weary. Please hear me. Please, please help me." And we get so weary. And does our God hear us? Does our God care? Does Jesus know and hear our weary hearts? Yes. Jesus speaks to us, calls to us, invites us in the most loving, understanding, kind, and caring words. Jesus calls to us in a passage we find very familiar. In Matthew 11, 28, it says, "Come to me, all that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Our Jesus says, "Come." A gentleman named Frank Graff wrote an older song called "Does Jesus Care?" These are some of the lyrics. "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I'm tired and failed, and when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When my deep grief, there is no relief, though my tears flow all night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see?" And after each of those, he would have this refrain. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Amen? Jesus says, come. Jesus says, I know, even more than you and I do, what's going on in our lives. Jesus hears and knows the cries of our minds and our hearts. He knows and he understands. He understands the weight you are carrying. He understands how hard it is, how life can be hard, how difficult and disappointing times can be. Jesus understands all this and more. And so he speaks an invitation, come, come to me. Instead of trying to continue to go on our own, instead of trying to turn to others or some other substitute, Jesus says, come to me. Come to the safest place in all of the universe. Come to the safest person imaginable. Are you struggling? Are you hurting? Are you weary? Are you burdened? To you, Jesus, God in the flesh, the God who always was, is, and will be, the God who was before anything, who created everything, the God who spoke and all of existence came into existence, says to me and to you, come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I am gentle and humble in heart. In me, you will find rest for your souls. God, weariness, come to me, Jesus says. Got regrets? Come to me, Jesus says. Got a lot on you? Come to me, Jesus says. Got worries? Come to me, Jesus says. Jesus loves the weary. Jesus loves the burden. Jesus loves the heavy laden. Jesus loves the overworked, the stressed out, the rejected, the depressed, the hopeless. Jesus loves all who cry out in your weariness. Look at the word cry within scriptures, you'll find the word comes up over and over again. Even the book of Psalms, it speaks over and over again about crying out to the Lord, crying out in the times of our distress. In those passages, God says amazing things like, when you cry out to me, I hear you. When you're hurting, lost, weary, scared, confused, I hear you. God is close to the brokenhearted, to those who cry out, those who admit they're scared, lost, weary, and confused. But you see, there's this false, twisted idea that somehow you have to have it all together before you can have a relationship with God, for God to hear you. Like God's only looking for people with no problems, have it all nailed down, and have a happy face on all the time. And yet the scriptures speak directly against this type of thinking. Jesus says, come to me. All who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. You don't have to have it all together. If you're feeling lost and hurting and crying, if you're saying, I'm dying here, Jesus says, come to me with all your junk, with your problems, with your messes, with your weariness. I love you. I am with you. I'm on your side. I will always be by your side. I will never leave you. I will go through everything with you. Amen. Come to Jesus. That's the first thing we can find for our weariness. Bring it all to him. He can handle it. He already knows about it already, even though you don't think he does. So come to him with it all. Secondly, take Jesus. This passage, we've read it so often that we forget the second part of it. It's powerful. It's demanding. Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. We pause there. We stop there, but Jesus didn't quit speaking. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Note the second part of that verse tells us that to acquire the beautiful and perfect rest that Jesus offers requires a decision, a movement, a commitment on our part, an action to take. He says, take my yoke upon you. Take me upon you. And as scholars say, that means there are two levels of that, to take Jesus as your Savior, to begin that relationship, and then to take Jesus as he says there, and to learn from me, take Jesus as your Lord and your teacher. Believe in me and obey me. Invite me into your heart as your Savior. Follow me as the Lord in and over your life, and listen to me and follow me as your teacher. You see, a lot of ways we wander around into our own thing, and Jesus said, I want you to follow me, obey me. We have so much weariness and pain that we have placed ourselves in. We have not invited Jesus into our hearts as the one who died for our many sins. We have not followed him as our Lord, or followed his teaching, his word in our lives. And that's some of the reason we're weary and we feel our sins. In Judges 17:6, it says about that condition, in those days there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. If we're out there doing things right in our own eyes and not checking with what Jesus says. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we are like sheep who have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. He talks about what Jesus did then, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We've all gone astray. We've turned our own way. So the rest that Jesus offers here requires a decision, a commitment on our part. Take Jesus, yes, as your Savior, and take Jesus, yes, as your Lord, your master, the ruler of your heart and life, and the one that teaches you, and you obey his teachings. He says it in these words, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. We all probably know what a yoke is from that time. A yoke was a bar of wood, usually a heavier one, that's placed upon the neck and shoulders of an animal to guide them in the right ways for working. Let me give you a little word of insight. Everyone wears a yoke. Every one of us have placed ourselves under some level of authority. Some person, some belief system, we've placed ourselves under something that guides us and directs us. Everyone has submitted themselves to something or someone that guides them. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. Jesus is saying here, you have been under the yoke of the wrong people, of sin and slavery and misery and weariness for too long. Come to me, take off the yoke of sin and misery. Come to me, put on my yoke, submit to me and my teachings and my guidance. And what happens? You will find that I am gentle, I am humble in heart, and through this you will find rest for your soul. No one else in your life, no other force or power in your life, no one else you submit to, and no other belief system you believe in can give you that gentleness and humbleness and that rest for your soul that Jesus can give you. Following Jesus may mean, as a part of this yoke, that he will lead you to make some serious decisions and changes. Yes, he may lead you to make some difficult and hurtful movements of things, places, people. But every leading that he makes will ultimately bring you the greatest healing and peace and rest. That's why he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take Jesus. Too many people think that God is just a loving, indulging old grandpa who just sits around loving people and just doesn't care how they live otherwise, and that's not the real Jesus. Even in this short passage, Jesus calls all who are weary and carrying heavy loads to come to him, respect him as the authority of their life. Take Jesus as your Savior, take Jesus as your Lord, take Jesus as your teacher, and then you can find the rest for your souls that only Jesus can give. A third way to care for our hearts, our dear hearts that are weary, is to spend time with Jesus. Now, I'm not going to sing the song, Spend a Little Time with Jesus. The best remedy for a weary heart is to spend time with Jesus daily. I know we know that. I know it's kind of weird the pastor has to say that. But do we? Do you have a time every day when you steal away and you have some time with Jesus? Do you realize when you take time to be with Jesus, you are with Jesus? He's there. The one who calls to you, come to me, is there. The creator and sustainer of the universe, the savior and reigning Lord of all time and eternity, is there with you.
It doesn't matter where you are, when you meet with him. It only matters that you spend time with him every day. His Holy Spirit is loving and wise. His word has sustaining power. You really can't live with a weary heart life without having Jesus. You got to spend time with him. Pull up a Jesus chair. Some people say, here's an empty chair, Jesus. I just need to imagine that you're sitting here with me, which he is. Grab your Bible, maybe a devotional book, then listen. He has a lot to say. Things like Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God, eternally and in your life. Psalm 37:7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 62:5, for God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. I'll promise you something. If you spend time with Jesus, you will find his strength for your weary heart, or you'll find the strength to speak into another person's weary heart. Spend time with Jesus. A fourth thing is to trust Jesus. We say we do, but we don't. All too often we come to Jesus, we go before him in prayer, we imagine him at that chair, we lay our weariness at his feet, we ask him to take it, and then when we get up, we pick it up from his feet and carry it out with us again. Don't we do that? But how many times have we had things in our lives, whether it's something around the house, whether it's some plumbing or the car is not acting up good, or some other thing in our lives when we finally find somebody who's experienced and we finally have the confidence that they can take care of it for you? Do you remember when you finally heard somebody say, well, this is the problem, we can fix this? You just think of the relief you had when it was, and here's somebody finally that can fix this. We could and should have the same relief if and when we truly give it to God and believe he has it. God has it. He can do it. Isaiah 41:10 to 13 says this, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, do not fear. I will help you. Hear, Jesus, come to me, and I will give you rest. His word to you is, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. His word is, I love you. I hear you. I'm here for you. I'm working in your life. His word is, I have never stopped. I have never stepped back. His word is, I'm with you always. Trust him. Trust Jesus with it. A fifth way to overcome the weary heart, or for help with the weary heart, it sounds a little unusual, but it's very powerful, is to spend time with God's family. This isn't just so pastors can get people to come to church, but in Hebrews 10:25, it talks about not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, it's not just about getting you into church. If you neglect meeting together, it basically is telling you that you will be discouraged, others will be discouraged, they'll still be in their misery, and you won't have any help. So if you come here, we have two roles. One is, there are times when you'll walk in these doors and you are called by God to encourage those around you. Times when you walk in these doors and you'll be the one needing that encouragement. God has placed every person to be in relationship. Relationship with him, relationship with others. And those relationships with others, in those relationships, sometimes we're the weary heart that needs ministered to, and sometimes we're the ones who are here to minister to another's weary heart. You're probably still familiar with the former televangelist, Jim Baker. While he was in prison, he wrote an autobiography entitled, I Was Wrong. It's the first step for healing. In that book, he tells the story of his descent into deep despair. He had lost his freedom. He felt his sanity, his dignity, his confidence, and even his wife. He said, all I was inmate 07407-058. One time smiling on international television, and then rock bottom. He tells about how one day at his lowest point, a prison official came to him and said, you have a visitor. Well, hardly anybody came to visit him. Who would want to visit him? He said, who is it? They said, it's Billy Graham. He thought, Billy Graham has come to this place to see me? When he walked into the room, Billy Graham turned towards him and opened his arms wide and hugged him. He said, "At that moment, I felt two things, total worthlessness, at the same time, love." He says, "I will never forget that the man who had just been voted one of the most influential men in the world, as minister to millions of people, took time of his busy schedule to come to minister to one sick, sorrowful prisoner." He adds, "I felt as though Jesus himself had come to visit me." Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Susie called her friend to see how she was doing. The voice at the other end of the phone said, "Terrible. My head is killing me, the house is a mess, and the kids are driving me crazy." She said, "I got to make supper, and I don't know what I'm going to make." And Susie, full of compassion, said, "Listen, I'm coming over. I'm going to let you lay down and get some rest. I'll tidy up the place. I'll fix some supper. I'll watch the kids so you can get some rest. By the way, how is Sam?" The voice on the phone said, "Sam? My husband's name is John, not Sam." Susie said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I must have dialed the wrong number." There's a pause on the other end, and the voice said very meekly, "Are you still coming over?" Spend time with God's family. 6, focus on your blessings. Instead of dwelling on what's making you weary, dwell on the many pauses and blessings that you do have. There are a lot of wonderful things in your life. It's just you've lost focus. You've focused so much on the worries that you've lost focus on the positives. There was a man who had retired sitting on his porch in Kentucky. He got his first Social Security check. He opened it up. It was for $105 a month. He thought to himself, "Is this all my life is going to be from this time on, just sitting on the porch waiting for my next Social Security check of $105 to survive?" It was a discouraging thought. So he grabbed a legal pad, began to write down some things in his life, all the gifts, all the blessings, all the talents, and everything that he had going for him. He's feeling very blessed as he listed them all, even small things, including his mother's recipe for fried chicken, in which she used 11 different herbs and spices. He went down to the local restaurant and asked if he could get a job cooking chicken with that recipe. And soon the chicken became the most popular item on the menu. He opened his own restaurant, you know it's coming, and a string of restaurants, and eventually sold the Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise for millions of dollars. Focus on your blessings. You never know what God's going to do. Psalm 43:5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him, my help and my God." Focus on your blessings, not on your struggles. Also, number 7, good biblical number. Don't give up. A most clear example of weariness in our scriptures is when we read through the Israelites and their wilderness wanderings twice. Weary from generations of slavery in Egypt, weary from struggling through 10 plagues, weary from having to pack and move in a hurry, weary from traveling from Egypt only to be trapped at the edge of the Red Sea, yet were delivered by God. Weary from worrying where they would get food and drink, yet delivered by God and provided by God. Then weary from years of eating the same manna, weary from fearing attack from enemies, weary from wearing the same clothes and shoes that God prevented from wearing out, weary from, because of their faithfulness, having to wander in the wilderness another 40 years. As Christians, in our own lives, there are times we have our own weariness wanderings, our own dry desert times. There will be our own pharaohs and pursuing Egyptians. We have to wait beside some bedsides. We'll wait for some job, wait for some specific direction. But we must not quit. We may get weary on the path to the promised land. We may feel the scorching sun, the desert paths, the dreary days, the delayed waits, the cantankerous saints and distant lands, but we must not quit. We must trust our Lord and let Him work in our lives, and we do not give up. There was a young man that was in high school. He was pretty much a scrawny little guy. He decided, watching a wrestling match one time, he wanted to become a wrestler. Well, the coach kind of chuckled, but the kid seemed to have a lot of determination, so he said, "I'll give you a try." The kid turned out to be a pretty good wrestler. He's a bit small, needed to beef up a little bit, but he let him wrestle, and over time he started winning a match and winning another one. He had a tenacity of a bulldog, which was his strength. He would never give up or quit. He would basically wear out his opponents. And he, after a while, went undefeated and ended up in the state championships of his weight. As he got to the state championship, he found out that he was facing a two-time state champion who was so good he had been offered college scholarships already. So he met the state champ on the mat. Before he knew it, he was twisted up and pinned. It looks like he's going to lose. Bam! The coach, who had developed a fondness for this little guy, turned his back. He just couldn't bear to see him lose. And then he heard the crowd roar. And when he turned back, his wrestler had reversed the state champion, was on top of him, and won the match. He came running across the match. "Coach, I won." He said, "Yeah, I see that you did. How did you win? The last time I looked, you were in the bottom about to lose." The kid said, "Coach, he was so good. He had me twisted like a pretzel on the mat immediately. I couldn't move. But you know me, Coach, I wasn't going to give up. I wasn't going to quit. I opened my eyes as I was twisted up. In front of my face was a big toe. I don't know if it's against the rules or not, but I leaned my head down and I bit the fire out of that big toe. And Coach, it's amazing what you can do when you bite your own big toe." Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Don't give up. Our 7 points for the weary heart today. First, come to Jesus. Come to Him. Nobody else, nothing else. Go to Him. Come to Jesus. He invites us. Come to me. And as a part of that, take Jesus. I mean, be serious with Him. "Lord, I mean business. I need you as my Savior, and I know that I have a sinful tendency, Lord, so I need to be in your word. I need to take you as my Lord. I will do what you say to do. I will take you. I will listen to your word. I want you to teach me. I want to follow your ways so I can have that peace." Third, spend time with Jesus. I promise you, it'll change your life. Fourth, trust Jesus. Trust Him. Wholehearted trust in Him. Fifth, spend time in God's family, ministering and being ministered to. Sixth, focus, please. Focus on your blessings, not on your struggles. Make a list of your blessings. And seventh, don't give up, because God is on the move in your life. Let us pray. Fathers, we have come today. We've come, Lord, with weary hearts. We either have, are, or will be within that weary heart place. But Lord, we ask you to help us remember these wonderful points, these handles. So, Lord, you say to us, come to you. Take you seriously by our commitment to you and your commitment to us. Never give up, and Lord, be at peace, knowing, Lord, that you are active and alive and all-powerful in our lives. Let us have that peace then, Lord, that joy, knowing that you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.